Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Welcome. I'm Sol Lazar, and this is Metaphysical Musings. This show shares a variety of metaphysical topics and ideas. I want to thank Angel Thacker and the New Age Guild for letting me be a part of the Spirit Talk lineup. For those who listen to me here or on my Good Vibrations radio show, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh, and he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a Man Thinketh was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. He wanted us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, as well as actions. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, beliefs, and actions, you can remake your life and inform and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a segment for each section, for each day of the month. For the 26th day of the month, James Allen shares persistence grows your root system. The person of good and lawful purpose cannot fail. It only needs that he daily renew the fire and energy of his fixed resolve to consummate his object. Bob Proctor, a transformational speaker from Canada, often shares that seeds have a gestation or incubation period before they can manifest, and it exists for the seeds to know it. For instance, there's an Asian bamboo species that even after 5 years of watering, weeding, is barely visible. Then in a span of about 6 weeks, it grows 2.5 feet a day to 90 feet and higher. So 5 years of that seed being watered, weeded, and fertilized. And then within 6 weeks, it's 90 feet or higher. It grows so fast that you can literally hear it growing. So the question is, did the bamboo grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? Persistence grows your root system. The person of good and lawful purpose cannot fail. It only needs that he daily renew the fire and energy of his fixed resolve to consummate his object. To help us find out how to move forward for this coming month of December, we have the interview that I conducted with Joyce Muse last Monday on Good Vibrations Radio, and Joyce shares all the celestial phenomena coming up. So let's listen to Joyce and find out what we can expect going forward. Joyce Day Muse was born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area, where she developed an early interest in astrology. She learned all she could from books and observing her friends and family members and their qualities of their signs. And upon moving to the Central Coast, she met an astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. And she also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. Joyce was ordained in 1980 as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. And 37 years later, Joyce has become a feature at local psychic fairs. She's done thousands of readings. She's taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people. And she's performed numerous weddings. She's hosted many radio shows over the years and specializes in quick, on-the-spot readings, as well as longer, in-depth consultations. And she plans to continue to give readings and be of service for those who need clarity, guidance, encouragement, and support for as long as she's able. And she joins us on the third Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. So let's have a musical introduction to Joyce and Your Lucky Stars. Well, welcome, Joyce.
Thanks, Olazar. Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy
to
have
you. In the astral world with you. So, big day today. Last day of Scorpio.
Yeah. Everyone I know is feeling it.
Everybody's ready for the change, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's not just that the sun is in the most intense sign of Scorpio. We've also had Mars, the action and anger planet, in an aspect of dynamic tension, which we call a square, with Pluto, the power and control planet. So that Mars square Pluto isn't making things much easier. Although it was perfected yesterday, you know, it'll take a while for Mars to move away from the square to Pluto. So there's our intensity level at sky high. And, you know, just so much has been going on. It seems like there always is, but it just seems like every week is more intense revelations and crises and, you know, this latest sexual allegations that have been going on this month, been pretty intense.
Mm.
I mean, I'm blaming Jupiter in Scorpio, because Scorpio is the sign of sex, death, and money. So all of those things can play a part. But Jupiter in Scorpio is sure bringing the scandals out of the woodwork, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's something.
Yeah, but we're tough. We've been through harder times, and we'll keep on keeping on, I'm sure. We've got a lot coming up until the end of November. Tomorrow, the sun enters the fire sign of Sagittarius. So all of us that follow astrology are kind of looking forward to this yearly change from the deep, dark depths of emotional intensity in Scorpio into the happier, sunnier, light, more lighthearted, playful sign of Sagittarius. Not that every Sagittarius is like that, but the sign itself is ruled by the lucky, expansive planet Jupiter. So, you know, in many ways, things should lighten up as of tomorrow night. So the sun enters Sagittarius just after seven tomorrow night. And then on Wednesday, we get an interesting station, which is when the planets appear to be going backwards or forward. And Neptune, which has been retrograde for probably the last 5 months, is stationing direct. So that's a cosmological change of gears. Neptune is not an easy energy. It's got its positive side in that it rules spirituality and creativity, but it also has to do with illusion, self-delusion, confusion, you know, hard to believe half of what you see. And Neptune stationing direct is actually, I think, positive in that it'll leave the few degrees it's been hitting all of 2017 and start to move forward into the next degrees. Well, Neptune moves so very slowly.
So this whole month, it's only been in the 12th degree and the 11th degree. And then next month, it picks up speed as it goes, well, no, it stays in the 11th and 12th degrees. It's not picking up much speed. But it'll next year, it'll move into more into the teens of the sign Pisces. Now, I'm a Pisces, and I've been watching Neptune slowly move close to my sun sign, and I've been feeling it, and I'm glad that I'm aware of it. Early in my career, I had a client who had Neptune on her sun, and she was just so lethargic and low energy and spaced out and ungrounded. And those are all qualities that Neptune can affect you with. Of course, different signs that have different qualities. But Neptune in Pisces is considered pretty strongly on the spectrum of spaciness and ungroundedness. And the opportunity for creativity and fantasy, and a wonderful time for an artist or a poet or a musician or a dancer or anybody who's involved in the arts having a Neptune transit can maybe experience one of the most creative times in their lives. So that's nothing to turn your back on. But also Neptune transits, you know, just that ungrounded, unfocused quality can be hard for some.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, like Pisces as a sign, is not the most grounded, focused, forward-moving energy. And then having Neptune kind of doubles the qualities of spaciness and unfocused, ungroundedness. So here we are with Neptune. But a good application would be meditation. If you're not an artist or in the arts, you know, any one of us can take the time to go inside and be more contemplative and introspective, and great time for prayers and affirmations and those kinds of things. So that's what I'm trying to do, is to do my lifetime of learning different affirmations and practices to try and help the people in my life and help the world. So I've been doing a lot of positive affirmations to help people through this kind of difficult time. So in the next week, you know, we're moving into Sagittarius. We should be brighter and sunnier. Neptune stations direct on Wednesday, and then Thursday is Thanksgiving. So what's going on Thanksgiving? Well, we have a void of course moon from early in the morning till just past noon. And just past noon, the moon goes into Aquarius, and we should all find ourselves more open and social, and, you know, willing to participate in group activities, which is kind of what Thanksgiving's all about. And then Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we have the moon still in Aquarius, square Jupiter all day. So if you want to spend money, that is a really good aspect for just letting it all go. You know, maybe you should set a budget for yourself and not go nuts. But Moon Square Jupiter is kind of a go nuts aspect, over the top, extremes, that kind of stuff. And then on the weekend, we have a really busy Saturday with lots of aspects for the moon. There's actually five lunar aspects. And then Mercury in relationship to Uranus on Saturday. So that's really good for mental stimulation and an urge for freedom, freedom of thinking, freedom of expression. People may be more tactless and blunt. That's how it is. That's just how it is. Don't take things too personally or let your feelings get too hurt. People just got to say what's on their mind. And then the last week of November, what do we have going on? The first quarter moon on Sunday. That happens, quarter moons are twice a month. And then actually, as we're speaking tonight, the moon is conjunct Saturn. And then a week from today, on Monday the 27th, Mercury is conjunct Saturn. So Saturn's trying to keep us in our bodies and focused on practical things as much as possible. And Saturn's just finishing its 13 months in Sagittarius. We've got the last final month of Saturn in Sagittarius because it changes signs on December 20th. So that's something to look forward to, I hope. I always have high expectations that Saturn in its own sign of Capricorn is going to be better than Saturn in Sagittarius.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that as Saturn moves into Capricorn, people will get more practical, more down to earth, and will be less divided by our philosophical tribalism. Seems to be the word these days, tribalism. Then on Wednesday,
I was going to say, you go ahead and hope, and I'm going to ahead and plan for the worst.
Well, it's probably not a bad idea, but, you know, things get messy, you know, like all this sexual abuse scandal and the heartbreak of seeing careers just cut down in a day. But, you know, maybe that's what it takes to make this major change. And one of the things in astrology that may be contributing to it is the fact that Saturn is conjunct what they call the galactic center, the last few degrees of Sagittarius, they call the galactic point. And it often correlates with a sudden release of earth-shaking information, also known as whistleblowing. So there's important connections with this late Sagittarius point among whistleblowers. So this Saturn transit marks an opportunity for birthing a new reality. So this is in harmony with the sea changes we've been seeing with this transit. So many victims of sexual abuse have come forward to demand a new world in the arena of gender relations. So that's pretty interesting. So Saturn's contributing its part to that. And Jupiter in Scorpio is pointing to sexuality as the important issue. And then we can't overlook this long Uranus-Pluto square that's been going on. So Uranus revolution, Pluto transformation has been going on for the last number of years. And this is the last year as Uranus will change signs early in 2018. So a lot of revolution and turnover. And that Jupiter in Scorpio is making a relationship to Pluto. So Jupiter, let me see here. So Jupiter's in 8 degrees of Scorpio. And Pluto's in 17 of Capricorn. Actually, today Venus and Pluto are exactly sextile. So that's a harmonious aspect. But it does point to that kind of Pluto, you know, pointing out the molesters, pointing out the demons, you know, just bringing out the dark side. So, that Pluto-Uranus thing has been going on, 7 years? As long as Uranus has been in Aries. So we only have a few more months of that. But it has been quite a change of pace. And isn't it funny how sexual abuse and all this male power over the feminine has been going on for, you know, thousands of years. And here, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it's a big topic. You know, it's coming out of the woodwork. Everybody's got their stories. And, you know, this didn't happen with Anita Hill. This didn't happen when Clinton's accusers came forward. I mean, there was the edges of it. But this time, for some reason, women are empowered to tell their stories and confront their abusers. And it's pretty amazing to be a part of it. So Jupiter will be in Scorpio for the coming year, so I don't see this changing anytime soon. And, you know, maybe we'll get used to the apologies and careers collapsing in a day. I mean, Charlie Rose is the victim today.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's kind of shocking. You know, it all came out and he's lost all his jobs. You know, and I don't know what to think of Al Franken. I mean, he was somebody I really respected and admired, and I'm still waiting to hear the truth because, you know, Dirty Tricks has been with us in politics forever. And looking at his chart, I did his chart, and it's so funny. He's a Gemini with Moon in Sagittarius, just like Trump. As a Gemini with Moon in Sagittarius. So that kind of cracked me up. But Al Franken has Pluto on the midheaven. So that Pluto is kind of the planet we can associate with sexual abuse scandals. But it's also the planet of transformation and regeneration. And just like he transformed his career from being a comedian to being a senator, he's perfectly capable of transforming his career once again. I mean, it'd be a shame if he had to give up his being a senator, but I guess whatever it takes, you know.
Well, it was interesting that many people were saying, and not everyone, but many people were saying, okay, this is a, because even I was saying it, this is a staged issue. It's come forward. The photographer came forward. He issued the good apology after the bad apology. And the woman who made the accusation accepted it. It looked like we were done. And people were saying, this doesn't appear to be a pattern. Now this other one has come forward, which is a very different thing. And we'll have to see where that lands. But I think the good thing about Jupiter in Scorpio, as you were saying, and I may have misunderstood this, but this is really about revealing all those things we've kept under the covers and bringing them to light. And often because it's Scorpio, that also means we're uncomfortable about it. It's not something we wanted to bring to light, but yet it needs to come to light. And I think... excuse me, that's what Jupiter is going to give us for the next year.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully some better things, too. But I guess it's good that this is coming out and this form of behavior is going to have to stop. You know, not that every single person doing it's going to stop. And I can't, you know, as a woman, I can't tell you how many times I've been grabbed in my life or had somebody's tongue stuck down my throat. I mean, you know, you come to just, it's a part of being human, you know, that these things happen, not to excuse it, but, you know, it can be shocking, but it happens. I mean,
but yet there was a part of being a woman that also led so many of you to believe that there was little you could do about it very often. And now this is really saying from a consciousness perspective, that should not be so. And that really is no longer true. We need to hold people in power, people of all types of power, even if they just see themselves in power because they're a white male or a male. we need to hold them accountable for them using that power over other people, regardless.
Right, right. Well, I guess it's part of the empowering of the feminine, you know, that this is the time, even a year ago when Trump was elected, you know, after all his accusers came forward, you know, would he still have been elected if the atmosphere was like it is now? I don't know.
But, well, and I think he's in trouble in one sense, because the momentum will build that if we're holding other people accountable based on their accusers, we need to now look at your accusers. You can't be Teflon.
Right, right. Right. Well, also the Mueller investigation closing in on him as well is pretty interesting. So I can't imagine how he survives all this. But he's been under the influence, Trump's been under the influence of Saturn the whole time he was running and elected. We'll see what Saturn changing signs will do in his case. Because Saturn's just been sitting on his moon opposing his sun the whole year he's been in office. And Pluto is moving into an opposition to his Saturn-Venus conjunction. I've seen astrologers who expect that to coincide with his downfall when Pluto's more exactly opposite his Saturn and his Venus. But one of the things that's going to happen is Saturn changes signs on December 20th and moves into Capricorn, its own sign. It will eventually catch up to Pluto. And the next, you know, really big deal aspect we're going to have is Saturn conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. So that's going to begin the end of December, and it'll probably take into 2019 to be exact.
Ooh.
But still, we're going to be moving towards that the whole time. Saturn, which causes you to be held accountable, conjunct Pluto, the need for transformation and change. And interestingly, in the USA chart, we're preparing for our first ever Pluto return. So it seems likely that our country, not unlike in the 1760s and the 1770s, you know, the pressure builds to a revolution of some kind. So the USA's Pluto return, the first one ever, is coming up, and it'll probably have to do with what we value and our finances and, you know, what's important. That first revolution, you know, came from oppression from the British, who were collecting taxes, and we had no representation. And, you know, if things continue as they are with the American plutocrats taking over and, you know, the way things are stacked against middle class and lower class people, you know, there could be another revolution that forces the country to change in some serious ways. You know, I mean, it's such a shame because we're such a nation of wealth and resources. There should be enough for everybody. But that hasn't been the case, you know, in the last, I mean, it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. So
I think a part of that has been driven from the fact we never resolved the Civil War. And here's what I mean by that. Is that there was a plan for Reconstruction, but with the assassination of Lincoln, Andrew Johnson did not have the backbone to enforce the Reconstruction in a way that said we need to now live up to the intention of the Emancipation Proclamation and live up to the letter of the law. And so he gave the ability for the southern states to rebuild themselves in Reconstruction versus being directed by the federal government. Mm-hmm. What I think that's done is it's allowed two things to foster itself, to grow. And that is the evangelical movement, which is driven really more by a need for power and control than religion. Evangelical Christians, in my opinion, are not Christians. And also, from a Southern belief system, that they still believe that the whites are superior to blacks or any people of color. And I think those people have now gotten into powerful positions of great wealth, many of them, not all of them or everyone. And that the wealth has been driving the need for a country that actually is not about equality for all, but is about the management, control, and power over the all, with the power going to the few. Now, this is just, you know, Solazar's, Monday afternoon idea of what he thinks has driven the country. But I believe what you're saying is we're going into our third revolution. We had our revolution against the British. We had our revolution against the concept of slavery and the need to provide equality for all. And now we need to have a revolution to make that all stick, because we never really made it all stick. That's my opinion.
Well, I've often felt that, the South has never come around. And, seems to be the most challenging part of the United States as far as, equal rights and human freedom and all those things. But, I guess it's, we move forward and then we slip back, and then we move forward and then we slip back. And, I used to say, let the South secede.
Yeah, it's just that unfortunately has also, moved up throughout the country. So the mid-center of the country, in my opinion also, has adopted kind of a Southern mentality for a couple of reasons. Larger cities, which are mostly coastal, the larger cities, which have been on the coast for more years than in the Midwest or South, but the larger cities tend to be more diversified, and people learn to operate in a more diversified environment. Middle America, for the most part, has retained a homogenous type of view. Not every place, and I'm not putting down everywhere. So, but what happens is that there's more resistance to change in an environment that's homogenous, and there's less resistance to change in an environment that's diverse, because it's changing all the time. That doesn't mean there aren't attitudes of bigotry or racism anywhere else. And so a lot of what's happened in the country is that we have coastal areas that are more egalitarian, and we have central and southern areas that are more homogenous. And that, unfortunately, is what drives this idea of blue states, red states, is the idea of people who see anything that doesn't, anything that they don't look around their local church or their local grange or their local rotary and see, they see all of that type of change to that as a challenge and a threat to their way of life.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think we have to decide, like you said. It scares me, though, Joyce. It scares me, too, of what country do we want to be? We have to decide that. And right now the deck is stacked against us. I'll tell you that.
Us being the people?
I would say, yeah. I would say the idea of a progressive, socialized society that's more accepting, more nurturing, more willing to provide social safety nets for people so that they have an opportunity to get ahead, to improve their life, to improve their way of life for their for their children to improve their way of life. I believe that right now, the way our political structure has been set up with the gerrymandering, with the fact that even like a representative in California requires much larger population to have a representative than a representative in Wisconsin. It's all stacked against us for our electoral votes, for everything else. It's going to take a lot of consciousness to change that. But last week, we saw some consciousness at play, you know, in Virginia, you know, in Washington State, in various places. So
Right. We
need more consciousness at play. We have to get out. We have to vote. We have to be active. And we have to make a country that lives up to its declaration and its constitution of trying to be inclusive for all people. But we really have to be active to do that. We'll see what this revolution will be.
Yeah. Well, even before that, we're dealing with transiting Neptune on the USA's progressed sun. So clarity is hard won. It's hard to see, you know, where clarity comes from and what's the right path. And, you know, how do all these very diverse people fit together? I mean, I think the largeness of our country and the diversity of our country is part of the problem. When I look at Canadians, you know, they're a diverse society, but a much smaller population. And they seem to be have an easier time of helping their citizens and being inclusive. They don't seem to have our problem with taking care of our people, social services and things like that. I mean, what is it about the USA that makes it so hard? Why are we the only country that doesn't have universal health care? That always blows my mind. And people don't seem to think about that we're the only developed nation that doesn't provide health care for our people. I mean, Obama's ACA moved in that direction quite a bit, but then we get such the complete opposite, dark, you know, corrupt administration that we're seeing now. Although I think a lot of it is due to the Russians. I don't think we'd have Trump if it weren't for the Russian interference. So I'm really anxious for this Mueller investigation, you know, to bring out what it's going to bring out and maybe bring this corrupt administration to an end. I mean, that's my dream.
Well, but I have that dream too. Yeah, I have that dream. I'm right there with you.
But I'm starting to realize it's not going to happen quickly. I mean, I've gotten up every day for the last year and looked at the news to see if Trump's been arrested yet. And it just hasn't happened. You know, it just seems like he just keeps going on and on and on, even though there's more and more revelations of treasonous behavior. But I guess that's life. I guess I'm still learning that things take time and that I have to be patient and that nothing comes easily.
Well,
so let's look a little bit at December, because we've got some important things coming up early in December.
Okay.
Such as Mercury stations retrograde on December 2nd. So we're looking at December as kind of a challenging month for all the things that Mercury rules, such as communication, travel, equipment. So Mercury stations retrograde on the West Coast late on December 2nd, and on the East Coast that would be early in the morning, December 3rd. Now, where's that piece of paper I had? I keep piling up papers and I lose track. So, okay. December 2nd at 29 Sagittarius, Mercury stations retrograde. So it'll go backwards until December 22nd when it stations at 13 Sagittarius. So that's the point it starts moving forward again. But then from December 13th until January 10th, Mercury's in what's called its shadow period, where the influence of retrograde Mercury can still be felt until Mercury moves past the degree it stationed retrograde. So that's January 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the first third of the month is challenged by that retrograde Mercury. So how do we deal with retrograde Mercury? Patience, thinking things through, not spending gobs of money. So if you're going to spend gobs of money, do it, you know, before December 2nd. And from December 2nd, really till the end, till the beginning of the new year, you don't want to be buying new cars or starting new businesses or, you know, getting married, say. You know, it's a time to be more introspective and reflective and do our best to, you know, hold ourselves back. I mean, the new year, everybody wants to start new projects and do new things, but it would be worth it to just wait a little bit. So that's the big deal in December, is that retrograde Mercury period. Other than that, all the other planets are heading direct except for Uranus, and that's a good sign. And then Saturn, as I said, changes signs. It's actually late at night on the 19th of December, and Saturn goes into its own sign of Capricorn. So, you know, time to get real, time to get down to earth, time to let go of all this philosophical, fiery Sagittarius energy and get into 2.5 years of Saturn and Capricorn, which I'm ready for. I'm ready for it. You know, I want to do the small things that make a difference instead of, you know, all this philosophical idealism of Sagittarius, Saturn and Sagittarius. Not that it's been all bad, but it's been pretty much taken up by the whole election of 2016 and the illegitimate presidency of Donald J. Trump.
You know, I saw a thing on Bill Maher, and when you talk about doing the small things, especially since Capricorn is persistent, it's determined, it can be dogged in moving forward. But one of the things that was being said was, you know, now is the time for anyone who thought they may want to make a difference politically to run for office. If you've never thought about it before, run for office. You know, just
right.
And that means local. That doesn't mean you go from sitting in your chair today to suddenly being your senator tomorrow. Run for local office. Make a difference. Get engaged. Become a part of the party. The other thing I'd like to see, Joyce, with all of this movement is I'd like to see progressives stop eating their own young. You know, the minute there was an allegation against Al Franken, there were progressives saying he needs to step down. He needs to, you know, he needs to resign from office. Well, we need to find the truth first before we do that. And maybe he
right.
does need to do that at some point. But right now, he's not the same as a Roy Moore or a Donald Trump or a Harvey mm-hmm. Weinstein or a Kevin Spacey, people who were predators. We've got to be willing to stand up for things, but not... I even saw a thing from the Young Turks about, you know, Dianne Feinstein hasn't spoken out against drone strikes. We need to replace her. Okay, we got to stop doing that. We got to
yeah.
stop tearing down everything. Progressives have cost the elections. We created the election of Donald Trump. more so than even Donald Trump, because we started eating at ourselves over Hillary and Bernie Sanders, and we couldn't get united to say it's more important to have a united front to win, to move forward our agendas. So I'm hoping that this Saturn in, or Jupiter in...
Scorpio?
Saturn in Capricorn will actually help us kind of recognize that we can't have it all at once, but we can have it all in pieces if we're willing to determine or focus on moving forward. You know, I'm really hoping that's going to help us.
Yes. Well, that election in Virginia was a lot of people who had never run before that were inspired by the Indivisible and other organizations, that one called Run for Office.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had ever considered that anybody could run for office. I mean, I always, I guess, just assumed there was a political class of people who did that. And then it wasn't really available to everybody.
Well, Michael Moore said that Donald Trump proved to everybody that anybody can become president.
That's right.
But I think you brought out a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to be intelligent or have any class or empathy. I mean, you still got to wonder, God, what happened? You know, but then they say the Russians were involved with Brexit. The Russians were involved with what's going on in Spain. You know, it's like this, you know, they are taking over the world through their, you know, computer aspects that they're doing. They're manipulating all of us. It's so scary.
Well,
you know?
But I think it's now come to light. I mean, we certainly still have an underclass of people in the United States that don't believe any of that happened. And certainly Fox News is not sharing it with its viewers that any of that really happened. They keep demeaning it. And I would like to see Fox News come forward to the light and actually, unfortunately, be taken down for their part of state-run propaganda media. But where I'm really going to is that there are people who just don't know that that really happened yet and don't understand that that did happen, that we were attacked. And those people need to be informed at some point. We've got to get them informed because all of it has now come to light. We just need to make sure everybody gets informed.
Well, I hope that's possible.
Well, I think Jupiter in Scorpio makes it possible.
So good.
I mean, I think so. But, you know, I tend to sometimes get hopeful and then watch. You've got to go, oh, my God, there's so much more evil underneath this. But
I know.
But I'm hoping it comes to light because, after all, isn't really Scorpio when it gets expanded, it's got to be about the unconscious coming to the light. It doesn't mean we like it, like I said, but it means it's there. We get to see it.
Right. And that is exactly what's happening, is the unconscious is coming into the light, Jupiter and Scorpio. It's all this sexual, emotional abuse, which really is about power and control, Pluto. But Jupiter and Scorpio, you know, hopefully it will. I mean, we have it every 12 years, but I've never seen it operating like this, which leads me to believe that other factors are involved as well.
Yeah.
But one more day of Scorpio, and then we can kind of breathe a sigh of relief, you know, as we move into the sunnier sign of Sagittarius for a month. And then by the time we have the winter solstice on December 21st, Saturn's moving into Capricorn. Saturn will be in Capricorn conjunct the sun on the winter solstice. So what
Saturn in Capricorn says to me is, you know, figure out what your goals are. Figure out what the small steps are to reach your goals.
Yeah.
You know, take it one day at a time. Don't try to climb the mountain all at once. You know, it's slow, steady progress. So, you know, I like the sign of Capricorn, and I think it's going to be really earthy after we get to the winter solstice and finish up this year of 2017, which has been a 1 year, which is the year of new beginnings, and we'll move into a 2 year, which maybe will promote more partnership in 2018.
Well, I know you don't do much with Chiron, but also Chiron comes out of retrograde December 5th. And part of that is about what's personally holding each of us back. What are our wounds? What have we used as limitations to hold ourselves back? And I like the fact that that's coming out. And then we still have the Uranus retrograde until January 2nd. Which has been in Aries since August 2nd, retrograde in Aries since August 2nd.
And, yeah, that's a lot.
You know, that's about also stop pretending that life is all sunshine and rainbows, and everything has shown us it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And that could be one of the factors dealing with all these revelations as well, would you think?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think we got a pass when we had Obama as president for 8 years, that we had someone who, you know, took responsibility and tried to make it a better country and, you know, gave hope to people around the world and tried to show that we're not a racist country. But I guess, you know, that was too much for too many, and now we had to regress. You know, into the dark side.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, Uranus has a lot to do with it, the planet of revolution and change, which is sitting on the USA's progressed Venus.
Mm.
So that indicates our values are changing. And also, you know, time to make changes.
Yeah.
Uranus, transiting Uranus is squaring the USA's Pluto. Not only squaring transiting Pluto, it's squaring the USA's natal Pluto and the USA's natal Mercury.
Mm.
So we're supposed to revolutionize our thinking, and we're supposed to revolutionize power and control issues. So, I mean, hope for the best, expect the worst, I guess. I guess that's how it goes. You know, that you don't want to walk around being disappointed every day, but, you know, making slow, steady progress is probably the best we can hope for. You know, no miracle that's going to drop out of the sky.
My sister has been in Australia for the last 3 weeks visiting her eldest daughter. And one of the things she shared with me on more than one occasion is that how just about everyone she meets there keeps asking, how could you have elected Trump? How could you, you know, how could the people in the U.S. have elected Trump? And I think in some ways that's really a good thing, because
yeah.
Really pushes it to the forefront of, you know, kind of wake up. Can you see what you've done? And going back to what you shared, Joyce, and what country do you want going forward? Because the energy's all saying you've got to decide, you've got to make a choice. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I hope for the best, you know, and, I hope for the best, but I think we've got to be willing to be hopeful and take the action. And I think that's what you shared is coming up in the sky. The sky is saying, you got to decide, it's your next revolution. What do you want your country to be?
Right. Well, the America I grew up had ideals, it had integrity, it had ethics,
not all the time, and there was, you know, dark things going on. But for the most part, we represented, you know, good things.
Yeah, we
and
believed.
I'd sure like to get back to that.
And I would like to see our country come back to being able to have disagreements without being hateful. I'd like us to be willing to accept people of diverse cultures and capabilities without insisting that they have to live or be a certain way just because this is America. I'd like to see all that come back, because that's, like you said, that's what we were taught growing up. That's what we believed growing up. That's what our country represented growing up, and it's what it represented to people around the world. I hope 2018 going forward that we're able to really get back to that country that we believed we had.
Well, I think the tone of things will definitely be different in 2018 because of Jupiter's changing sign and soon Saturn changing sign, and in the new year Uranus changing sign. So I'm looking forward to a different tone that we live in. And, you know, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, one breath at a time, we just got to do our best. What choice do we have? We have to just be optimistic and, you know, follow our hearts.
I think, like you've talked about before, the 60s movement was successful and unsuccessful, but the success that it had came from a clear vision of we can be better than what we are. And I think that's the hope that we can carry forward. We can be better than what we are.
And we need to be. And we need to take control and not just expect our political leaders to do it all.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that now. You know, thank God for the good people.
Well, Joyce, I always appreciate your insights. I always appreciate what you share for letting us know what the planets have in store for us and how we can use it. And I appreciate your personal perspective always on what's happening and what we can hope for. So how can people get in touch with you for those who want more personal guidance for how this impacts them?
Yes, I love to give personal readings. That's the most fulfilling part of my work. And you can reach me at 831-236-6572. And I'm on Facebook at Pacific Astrology.
And I want to thank you once again, Joyce, for spending your time with us today. And many blessings to you and yours.
Thank you, Solazar.
As I close, once again, I share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me there's something stronger, something better, pushing right back. Whatever you give, do so from your heart. Thank you for listening to Metaphysical Musings on Spirit Talk. Many blessings. We'll talk again next week.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to be